You know I'm a faggot. That much is true. Well, I'm just a faggot on my knees for you. I love dildos and butt plugs too. I'd sit on a bowling pin if a straight guy told me to. Ooh. No lube, baby, no lube.
No lube?
Just give me a little spit.
Oh,
on
yeah.
A hole. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Ooh!
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Hierarchy Podcast. It's a production of the website fagsworshipalphas.com. I'm Sam the Faggot, and it is Wednesday, June 17th, 2020. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're being safe. To all of my friends in the United States of America, buckle up, kids, because guess what? The coronavirus isn't done yet. Isn't that great? President Dipshit is leading the United States back into coronavirus territory with his dumb fucking ideas, his anti-science positions. I mean, what a shitstorm. Can you believe that there are people that want 4 more fucking years of this? Seriously? You know, I mean, we have a president in the United States of America in 2020 who gets up to a microphone and says dumb shit like, you know, if they just wouldn't stop testing, then there wouldn't be any more cases. If we just stop testing, they keep testing, so they keep finding people. I mean, what the fuck does that even mean? You know, like,
you know what? I think somebody just broke in the house, but maybe if I just stay under the covers and don't look, then he just won't be there.
I mean, you know how stupid that sounds? I mean, you know how stupid you have to be to support a man like that? To wear a fucking Trump hat or whatever? Fly a Trump flag on your fucking house? You might as well just spray paint, "I'm retarded," all over everything, okay? I mean, anyway. So, it's coming back. Hopefully, Trump's having some sort of rally with 19,000 people all in an indoor arena, and really that's really the only hope for America is that they all get COVID and fucking die. Every time he throws another rally, it kills off another 15,000 to 20,000 people that need to be out of the food chain, you know what I'm saying? So that's really the only hope at this point. So, anyway, well, today's kind of a special day because it is the birthday of my baby boy, who turns 22 years old, and it's been almost 4 years since I first met him online, and it changed my life forever, and I mean, I'm not allowed to talk about it anyway, but I would just start crying. But I will just say this. Happy birthday, sweetheart. I love you with all my heart. You are my heart and soul, and you are life to me. And I thank the universe every single day for you. And I pledge my whole life to you, you know. We have no secrets. We have no. We don't have any dreams apart from each other, and I am yours forever. I'll be your daddy, your friend, your partner, everything. I'll be right there by your side, holding your hand through everything the life has to go against us. So thank you for just coming into my life. I am very grateful. Anyway, that out of the way, the podcast that I did where I talked about the blowjob got some interesting reactions, including I received a series of texts from an alpha, a straight alpha male, 25 years old, who happened across my podcast and thought it was hot that his name is Rob. His name's Alpha Rob, and he thought it was hot that I was such a voracious cocksucker, which, I mean, he hasn't really ever used a faggot before. I think he's thinking about it now, as all straight men should, okay? Let me just say this again, okay? If you're a straight alpha male and you don't own a faggot to, at the very least, like, clean your house and do menial chores for you, or pay you money like a cash masters do, then you're missing out on a giant chunk of privilege that nature has given to you. You have to divorce sexuality from this and just look at it in terms of pure hierarchy. You're an alpha male. You're a straight alpha male. You're the top of the food chain. Everybody else serves you. Everybody else is your property. So if you're not taking advantage of that in some way or another, you're missing out, you know. Now, Alpha Rob sounds like he's ready to get himself a cocksucker to own and use. He sent me a picture of his cock. It is big and thick. And his wife is not satisfying him the way he deserves. So I dearly wish that I could be his cocksucker, because I would love it. I would love to suck his cock all the time, you know. You know how faggots are. See, that's the thing. Like, married alphas, married straight men, they don't really realize what it means to own a faggot, or a faggot is going to constantly just be hungering for your cock all the time. You know what I mean? A straight man can dump endless amounts of cum into a faggot and it will not be enough. You know. Now go find a girl that can do that or will do that. You're never going to find it. Okay. So hopefully Alpha Rob does follow his alpha instinct and get himself a cocksucker to worship him. That would be awesome. And hopefully I'll get front row seats to watch that happen, and maybe advise him, and maybe write some stories about him and his conquests, you know. That'd be hot. I guess I was gonna, this was something I was going to talk about the other day when podcast kind of got short-circuited by that waste of an interview that I had with Harry Oakland. I was going to talk about the experience I had with an alpha that reminded me a lot of Harry Oakland. So I guess we're going to have story time today, because I really don't, I don't know if I want to, what else I want to talk about tonight, really. So I'll just toss out another story. Why not? So this is a few years back, like 15-ish years ago, I guess, something, 17 years ago. I don't know. I was young and younger anyway. And I was partying one night with a bunch of friends. It was a party of probably about 17 or 18 people, I guess, at this apartment. And I was drunk, okay? And we were all drunk. And it got late. It was one something, probably. And we were out of alcohol, so some people were going to, by that time there were only about six people left at the party, and I was one of them. So they wanted to go on a beer run across state lines to pick up some stuff because everything was open till 3 o'clock there. So four of them decided to go together, okay, and left me and a guy named Tommy at the apartment. Now, I knew Tommy, incidentally, up until, for like a year or something ahead of, you know, prior to that night, and he had a girlfriend. I didn't really know his girlfriend, and she was not there that night at all. But I knew Tommy, you know, fairly well. I was not attracted to Tommy particularly. He was he wasn't as good looking as Harry Oakland, but he was definitely cocky and definitely alpha. He just, and this is, I mean, Tommy is one of those alphas that taught me that alphahood isn't necessarily about looks or dick size, you know. Faggots get kind of hung up on that. Like, they think that only supermodel alphas are alphas, you know, or big-dicked alphas are alphas. That's not really true. Alphahood is a confidence inside. It's a centeredness in, you know, an internal centeredness of being, like a purpose of being, you know, feeling superior, knowing that you're superior, knowing that you deserve worship. It's something internal, you know, and it can be seen on the outside by the way a man carries himself. And Tommy definitely did carry himself like that. I just was not attracted to him really that much at all. And I mean, at the time I had been servicing other hotter guys, you know, and so I just didn't, I didn't really give it much thought, you know. I mean, I thought he was alpha, but I just, he never made any kind of overtures toward me, so I just, he had a girlfriend, so I just let it go, you know. Anyway, so we're at the apartment, and those four other people left to go on a beer run, right? So just me and Tommy, and Tommy was drunk too, and Tommy laid down on the couch, and I knelt down next to the couch and kind of laid my head on, like, the couch next to him, you know, with my head, like, near his stomach area or something, you know, and he was kind of, like, half passed out, I guess, and we were talking, you know, and at one point he said, "Why are you kneeling down like that?" And I said, "Well, I'm just talking to you, you know." And I didn't say sir. So I finally, I kind of laid down on the ground, in, you know, right at the base of the couch where Tommy was lying, and we were just talking that in the dark. Well, it was. I mean, there was one light on, but there was like it was pretty dark in the apartment. And so we were just lying there and talking about just, I don't even really remember what we were talking about, honestly. And then I heard rustling and I looked up and Tommy was taking his shirt off. I didn't think anything about it and I closed my eyes, you know, whatever. And then I heard more rustling and I looked up and Tommy took his pants and underwear off. And I go, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "I just felt like getting naked." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And I mean, there's kind of like this, there was like an electric bolt that ran through me at that point, you know, like this electricity suddenly. And I became sort of more lucid all of a sudden, you know, like there was a shot of adrenaline because I had this straight guy getting naked in the room with me. Uh-oh, you know, what's going to happen here, you know? So, and I was interested. Suddenly I was like, oh, you know, like my, it's like a vampire smelling blood, you know? So I was like, oh, cock, you know? So, I was just kind of laying there on the ground and, then I heard some more rustling and I said, "Are you, stroking your dick, Tommy?" And he goes, "Yeah, man." He goes, "I'm so horny." And I was like, "Oh my gosh." I go, "They're going to come back, you know?" He goes, "I don't care." And, and so I was like, "Well, I mean, you got to do something about that." And he goes, "I want you to suck my cock." And, I was like, "Okay, really?" And he said, "Yeah, I want you to suck my dick." And, and so I got up and I got on my knees and he had a hard dick in his hand, you know, and I was like, "Oh my gosh," you know, and I mean, his dick was honestly like his dick was about what I was expecting it to be. I mean, you know, it was probably 6.5 to 7 inches, I guess, something like that, you know. I mean, it's bigger than mine, you know. It's average or a little above average. So, but you know, he's you know, a skinny guy, cocky, stroking his dick straight, you know. And I kind of looked at him, and he goes, "You want it, right?" And I said, "Yeah, definitely." And he goes, "I knew you wanted to suck my dick." Like, and before I could even answer him, because my instinct was to say, "Oh, yeah? You know, I never wanted to suck your dick." You know, playing with him. Before I could even do that, he grabbed my head and pushed it down onto his dick. And, of course, like, I just opened wide and just took the whole damn thing down my throat. And I think that surprised him because, you know, I don't know what his experience was before, you know, me, but, you know, most straight guys, when they get a true natural cocksucker on their dick, it's a totally different experience than what they're used to with females, right? I mean, females are flicking it around and, you know, touching it and tapping it and, you know, whatever they're doing, you know, kissing it. No, you gotta fucking go down on it and fucking suck the shit out of it, okay? So that's what I did, you know, like when Tommy grabbed my head and pushed it down on his dick, I went, and like, I just went to town on it. And, like, Tommy was really, really, really got into it. I mean, I'm jumping ahead here. So, like, I just basically, he was mostly fucking my throat while he was lying there on the couch, kind of holding my head in place. It was a little awkward because I was leaning kind of side, like, over the couch and leaning sideways with my head, but you know, you make it work. and then Tommy finally busted down my throat, and I swallowed everything, you know, and then, like, I nursed on it for a little bit afterwards, and he was still hard, and I probably could have kept sucking him again, but I pulled off because I figured they were going to come back soon from the beer run, and I didn't want Tommy's cover to be blown, at least, you know. I became Tommy's cocksucker for a period of time. He went to college. He went away to college. I don't even know what happened to Tommy, honestly. Like, he didn't seem like the college type to me, but, you know, whatever. He would call me up. It was always, he was one of those straight alphas that only called for blowjobs when he was drunk, you know, in the middle of the night, you know. And I've had a couple of those kind of alphas where, you know, they had liquid courage, you know what I mean? Like, when they're sober, they're just too afraid of what it means to use a cocksucker or use a faggot, you know. But when they're drunk and they need to get off and they want a walk on the wilder side, they call a faggot because a faggot's going to get the job done, you know. So I really do miss times like that. You know, that experience and that time that I had with Tommy, serving Tommy, That's the kind of stuff that can really only happen when you're that age, when you're young, like when you're like early 20, like 20 or 20 to 25 or something, you know, where everything is, well, let's say 18 to 25, where everything is so alive and electric and like experimental and you know, and you're in a bunch of weird situations that are brand new to you. When you get a little older, you know, you're just not, you know, my friends now in my life, I don't find myself in an apartment at 2 a.m. drunk with some guy getting naked in the room with me, you know, just in a random series. It doesn't happen randomly in my life now because, you know, you get into this kind of regimented life when you get a little bit older or you have responsibilities, you know. So you miss out on that kind of stuff that you had when you were a kid. So the situation with Tommy was one of those things that, you know, it's probably not going to happen like that again. But it was pretty cool when it happened, you know, because it was just an exciting time, you know, having this straight guy figure out with me, using me, what it was like to own and use a cocksucker, you know, like a faggot, understanding what a faggot can do for him, you know. And I don't know if Tommy ever had any other faggots in his life after me. I don't know anything about him, actually, but I've actually gone tried to find him on Facebook and haven't found him, so I don't know what's going on with him. But yeah, I mean, it was an exciting time, and it kind of makes me sad, you know, that I'm probably not going to have times like that. Of course, like the Uber thing happened, so well, I guess I don't know what I'm crying about. But anyway. I guess if you're a good cocksucker and you're devoted to serving men, you know, I guess the good times are going to roll one way or the other, huh? So anyway, I don't know why I'm telling this story other than it's just a hot little story that, I don't know, it's kind of pleasant, I guess. And I guess I'm serving that one up for Alpha Rob, because he said he likes hearing stories about me servicing cock. So that's for you, sir. I hope you appreciated it. Anyway, I'm going to stop this because I've gone way over time here for no reason other than to tell a dirty story online. Just total strangers. So anyway, I will let you go. If you have any questions or comments, of course, as always, you can write to me on the website through fagsworshipalphas@gmail.com, right? I'm on Kick. I'm Normal Submissive on Kick. And, of course, you can always call me or leave a voice message on our phone line. It's +1 for America, 314-502-9566. Thanks for listening. I hope you are safe and well, and be careful. And love you.